By breakfast next day, Ron and Hermione's bad moods had burnt out, and to Harry's relief, Ron's dark predictions that the house elves would send substandard food up to the Gryffindor table because Hermione had insulted them proved false. The bacon, eggs, and kippers were quite as good as usual. When the post-owls arrived, Hermione looked up eagerly. She seemed to be expecting something. "Percy won't have had time to answer yet," said Ron. "We only sent Hedwig yesterday." "No, it's not that," said Hermione. "I've taken out a new subscription to the Daily Prophet. I'm getting sick of finding everything out from the Slytherins."
"Good thinking," said Harry, also looking up at the owls. "Hey, Hermione, I think you're in luck."
A grey owl was soaring down towards Hermione.
"It hasn't got a newspaper, though," she said, looking disappointed. "It's—"
But to her bewilderment, the grey owl landed in front of her plate, closely followed by four barn owls, a brown owl, and a tawny.
"How many subscriptions did you take out?"
said Harry, seizing Hermione's goblet before it was knocked over by the cluster of owls, all of whom were jostling close to her, trying to deliver their own letter first.
"What on earth?"
Hermione said, taking the letter from the grey owl, opening it and starting to read.
"Oh, really?" she spluttered, going rather red.
"What's up?" said Ron.
"It's... oh, how ridiculous!"
She thrust the letter at Harry, who saw that it was not handwritten, but composed from pasted letters that seemed to have been cut out of the Daily Prophet. "You are a wicked girl. Harry Potter deserves better. Go back where you came from, Muggle."
"They're all like it," said Hermione desperately, opening one letter after another. "Harry Potter can do much better than the likes of you. You deserve to be boiled in frog spawn. Ouch!"
She had opened the last envelope, and yellowish-green liquid, smelling strongly of petrol, gushed over her hands, which began to erupt in large yellow boils.
"Undiluted bubotuber pus," said Ron, picking up the envelope gingerly and sniffing it.
"Ow!" said Hermione, tears starting in her eyes as she tried to rub it off her hands with a napkin, but her fingers were now so thickly covered in painful sores that it looked as though she was wearing a pair of thick, knobbly gloves.
"You'd better get up to the hospital wing," said Harry, as the owls around Hermione took flight. "We'll tell Professor Sprout where you've gone."
"I warned her," said Ron, as Hermione hurried out of the great hall, cradling her hands. "I warned her not to annoy Rita Skeeter. Look at this one." He read out one of the letters Hermione had left behind. "I read in Witch Weekly about how you are playing Harry Potter false, and that boy has had enough hardship, and I will be sending you a curse by next post as soon as I can find a big enough envelope."
Blimey, she'd better watch out for herself.
Hermione didn't turn up for Herbology. As Harry and Ron left the greenhouse for their Care of Magical Creatures class, they saw Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle descending the stone steps from the castle. Pansy Parkinson was whispering and giggling behind them with her gang of Slytherin girls. Catching sight of Harry, Pansy called,
"Potter, have you split up with your girlfriend? Why was she so upset at breakfast?"
Harry ignored her. He didn't want to give her the satisfaction of knowing how much trouble the Witch Weekly article had caused. Hagrid, who had told them last lesson that they had finished with unicorns, was waiting for them outside his cabin with a fresh supply of open crates at his feet. Harry's heart sank at the sight of the crates. Surely not another Scroot hatching. But when he got near enough to see inside, he found himself looking at a number of fluffy black creatures with long snouts. Their front paws were curiously flat, like spades, and they were blinking up at the class, looking politely puzzled at all the attention.
"These are Nifflers," said Hagrid, when the class had gathered around. "You find them down mines, mostly. They like sparkly stuff. There you go. Look."
One of the Nifflers had suddenly leapt up and attempted to bite Pansy Parkinson's watch off her wrist. She shrieked and jumped backwards.
"Useful little treasure detectors," said Hagrid happily. "Thought we'd have some fun with them today. See over there?"
He pointed at the large patch of freshly turned earth Harry had watched him digging from the owlery window.
"I've buried some gold coins. I've got a prize for whoever picks the Niffler that digs up most. Just take off all your valuables, and choose a Niffler, and get ready to set 'em loose."
Harry took off his watch, which he was only wearing out of habit, as it didn't work any more, and stuffed it in his pocket. Then he picked up a niffler. It put its long snout in Harry's ear and sniffed enthusiastically. It was really quite cuddly.
"Hang on," said Hagrid, looking down into the crate. "There's a spare niffler here. Who's missing? Where's Hermione?"
"She had to go to the hospital wing," said Ron. "We'll explain later," Harry muttered. Pansy Parkinson was listening. It was easily the most fun they had ever had in care of magical creatures. The nifflers dived in and out of the patch of earth as though it was water, each scurrying back to the student who had released it, and spitting gold into their hands. Ron's was particularly efficient. It had soon filled his lap with coins.
"Can you buy these as pets, Hagrid?"
he asked excitedly as his niffler dived back into the soil, splattering his robes.
"Your mum wouldn't be happy, Ron," said Hagrid, grinning. "They wreck houses, nifflers. I reckon they've nearly got the lot now,"
he added, pacing around the patch of earth while the nifflers continued to dive.
"I only buried 100 coins. Oh, there you are, Hermione!"
Hermione was walking towards them across the lawn. Her hands were heavily bandaged, and she looked miserable. Pansy Parkinson was watching her beadily.
"Well, let's check how you've done," said Hagrid. "Count your coins, and there's no point trying to steal any goyle," he added, his beetle-black eyes narrowed. "It's leprechaun gold. Vanishes after a few hours."
Goyle emptied his pockets, looking extremely sulky. It turned out that Ron's niffler had been most successful, so Hagrid gave him an enormous slab of Honeyduke's chocolate for a prize. The bell rang across the grounds for lunch. The rest of the class set off back to the castle, but Harry, Ron and Hermione stayed behind to help Hagrid put the nifflers back in their boxes. Harry noticed Madame Maxime watching them out of her carriage window.